Let's pray, shall we? Father, we're grateful for your word. We're thankful that it speaks and that ultimately that word became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we invite you to feed us through your word. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen, amen. This morning, I want us to take our time talking about Holy Communion. Because sometimes we sort of rush through it as the first of the month. Let's go ahead and just squeeze it into the service. And I know most of you can give me kind of a knee-jerk answer on what is up here at the altar. You know, the bread represents His body. The cup, that is the wine, represents His blood. And that's absolutely correct. But there's more. There's more. By the way, I got caught on a rabbit trail this week. I did some research on the internet. I wanted to find out the most expensive bottle of wine. Any idea? I'll give you the top three, okay? And there's a reason for this. The third most expensive bottle of wine was a 1907 Heidsieck, valued at $275,000. That's over $250,000. And I guess what made this so valuable is that more than 1,000 bottles were discovered under a Swedish freighter that was sunk by a German U-boat, not in World War II, but in World War I. Number two, a 1947 Cheval Blanc went for $304,000. That's a lot of money. I mean, for something that you pop open and you drink and it's gone, right? But that's not the most expensive bottle of wine. Number one, the most expensive bottle of wine was a 1992 Screaming Eagle Cabernet valued at $500,000. $500,000. And I guess the redeeming quality to all that is that the proceeds made from the sale went to charity. But why do I bring that up? If you have a severe alcoholic living on the street, a wino, and you give a wino a $500,000 bottle of wine, what is he going to do with it? He's going to drink it just like the cheap stuff, right? And I think sometimes that happens when we kind of rush through communion without really thinking through the significance. We miss the treasure of it. So let's talk about Holy Communion. And for our purposes this morning, I want us to think of Holy Communion. Where is it? Uh-oh. I have my outline here somewhere. Because we're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures. There it is. I want us to think of it as a New Testament Passover. Because after all, the Lord's Supper was celebrated at a Passover meal, right? So what is Passover? Passover was a yearly thing that God told the people of Israel to observe. And the original Passover in the Old Testament occurred in the book of Exodus, right? With the 10 plagues. The 10th plague was the death of every firstborn male throughout the land of Egypt. We all, I assume, know that story. And God gave Moses very specific instructions to pass on to His people that every household was to take a lamb and they were to prepare it a certain way and they were to take the blood from that lamb and they were to do what? They were to put it on the doorpost as a not only as an act of faith, but as a sign for God to pass over that house. In fact, let me give you the original reference. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. God says this, "Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." So, let's think of Holy Communion as a New Testament Passover. If it's the New Testament Passover, I want you to think of this. I want you to think of Jesus as the Passover Lamb. And that's good news because we need a Passover lamb. Let me give you a couple of scriptures I know you already know. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, the word all has a very specific meaning. It's talking about you, me, us. All means all. That's all means. Okay? All of us, every last one of us here, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what does it mean to sin? Well, the word is harmatio. It's an archery term. It literally means to miss the mark. And in relation to God, it's missing the mark of righteousness. And if you want to know what that looks like, it looks like Jesus. All of us miss that mark. All of us fall short. We sin not only by what we do, but by what we don't do, and even our thoughts. Can you imagine that? I mean, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, if you look at a woman in order to lust with her, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. So I need us to understand that we all stumble, we all fall, we all sin. If you believe that, would you say amen? Okay, now let me give you another scripture. This is sometimes called the Roman road of salvation. Romans 6:23 says the wages or the consequences of sin is what? Death. Not just physical death, but eternal death. Now, I was almost tempted to just put a period after death. Because if that's all we had in that verse, that would be pretty bad news. The wages of sin is death, period. But there's a comma. Right? And look at what comes next. This is the good news. But the gift of God, think of a gift as not something you buy, but something that's given, grace. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, communion is the New Testament Passover. Jesus is the Passover lamb. In fact, let me take you to John chapter 1, verse 29. John the Baptist, prophet, right? Came preaching a message of baptism for the repentance of sin. When he sees Jesus, look at this, John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, notice what he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus, our Passover Lamb. Now, let me quickly take you to the Last Supper. Matthew 26, beginning with verse 26. It says, as they were eating, and by the way, most of you know the context of this, later on in the night, they would go to the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus would be arrested. So this is right before he goes to the cross, right? As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." So notice I underlined the word bread and body. Verse 27, then he took the cup, talking about the wine, and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood." And notice what he says next. Of the new covenant, Jesus is intentionally ushering a brand new covenant. Not the old covenant based on the law, but the new covenant based on His grace, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. That is the forgiveness of sins. Wow. So I want to take just a few moments here to talk about the bread and the wine. And to talk about the bread, I want to take you to an Old Testament passage, Isaiah 53. The men are studying the book of Isaiah. It's been over a year. We're over halfway done. I love Isaiah. Isaiah is sometimes called the gospel of the Old Testament. He writes so much about the Messiah. And chapter 53 especially. I mean, the whole chapter is awesome. He describes the passion and the death and the sacrifice of Jesus. And in fact, the next verse, I didn't print it out for you, but verse 6 says, "All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." But here's what I want you to hear. This is about the body, the bread here. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities." You say, what in the world is transgressions and iniquities? Just think of sin. We just talked about it. We all sin. "The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." There's a lot we could say about that single verse. The body of Christ was broken.
so that we could have forgiveness. That's talking about spiritual healing, right? I don't know about you. I need spiritual healing, but there's more. His body was broken so that we could have peace. That's talking about emotional healing. His body was broken so that we would be made well. That's talking about physical healing. So as you take the bread this morning, I want you to think in terms of the bread representing His body, which conveys the healing Jesus wants you to have. Okay? Now let's talk about the cup, the wine, which represents His blood. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness." Now, sometimes people get tripped up on the first part. It says, "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood." And they think, "Oh, yeah, almost." That doesn't sound too confident here. What you need to understand is that there was an allowance in the Old Testament law that if a person could not afford an animal for a blood sacrifice, they could offer flour instead. That's what that first part is talking about. But I want you to really capture the second part. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission. There can be no remission. Wow. 1972. True story. In Israel, there was a shepherd that was watching his sheep at night. He herded them into what he thought was kind of a natural barrier, kind of, you know, a dead end with some caverns. And he thought the sheep would be safe. So he went to sleep and he woke up in the middle of the night hearing all this commotion. And what had happened is a wolf had gotten in. It was biting and chewing a sheep. There was blood everywhere, a lot of noise. And the shepherd grabs his staff. Starts beating on the wolf. Well, the wolf begins to turn on the shepherd and begins to bite and chew him up. But the shepherd is still pounding on the wolf until finally, with one last blow, pounded him in the head, killed the wolf instantly. What's interesting is what happened next. The shepherd crawled over to that dying lamb, took him up in his own bloody arms, nursed that lamb, bandaged him up, calmed him down, gave him some water, and the two slept together that night. The next morning, the shepherd was found dead. His body literally draped over that lamb. And the headlines in the newspaper read, "Sheep alive, covered by shepherd's blood." Folks, that's you. That's me. That's us. We are covered by the blood of Jesus. In fact, John chapter 10. John is known for all these I am statements, recording Jesus saying, "I am the resurrection and I am the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world." Here he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." So how do we approach the table? Well, first of all, we take in everything we just talked about. And I don't know about you, I don't think you can really honestly take in the sacrifice of Christ without having a grateful heart. And that's where it starts. But here's something else that sometimes is not mentioned about Holy Communion. You need to come with a pure heart. In Sunday school, we looked at a passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're making our way through 1 Corinthians. And Corinth was a messed up church. They were fighting over little things. They were petty. They were immoral. I mean, I would not want to be the pastor of that church. And on top of that, if you read the whole chapter, they were fighting over Holy Communion. It became a free-for-all, a Jerry Springer kind of thing. People were fighting to see who would be first, and some people were actually getting drunk at the table of the Lord. And this is what Paul has to say halfway through that chapter. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let each man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, we'll come back to that in a moment, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning or not understanding what communion is all about. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, that is, have died. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened or disciplined by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. You know, a lot of people get tripped up on this part. Let them come not in an unworthy manner. And they think that you have to be worthy to come to the table. Let me be the first to say, I am not worthy in and of myself to even begin to approach this table. And truth be known, neither are you. What this is talking about is the context. Coming in this with the attitude of this is just a casual thing, no big deal. Not really understanding the significance of communion. Taking it lightly. Being more concerned about being first in line and having your needs met. That's approaching this table in an unworthy way. We also need to examine ourselves. Talking about sin. And here's where a lot of people get tripped up, and I'm going to kind of end with this morning. There's a difference, folks, between falling into sin and living in sin. And we talked about this before, but it's so important that you get this. We just talked about we all sin, right? And in fact, my guess is probably every single one of you have sinned in the last 24 hours. Right? Am I right? I mean, I'm just kind of curious. We all sin. We all stumble. We all fall. There's a difference between falling into sin and living in sin. What does it mean to live in sin? It means that you have an area of your life that you know is sin and you can care less about it. And we play games. I know I have in my life. I kind of play, you know, oh, God, look at all these other areas that I'm faithful in. And what's this little 1% area? I mean, can I have my own little thing over here? And God just keeps pointing out that one little area. And it's not because He's a harsh God. He knows that's like cancer that will poison your soul, that will grow. You know, a lot of us play games with sin. It's my little pet sin. No one needs to know. I'll keep it in a cage. I'll take it out for a walk and put it right back in its cage. It will always turn on you. It'll always take you farther than you want it to go. It costs you more than you're willing to pay. So that's why you can come to this table with this verse. Just let you take this in for a moment. I'm not even going to read it for a moment. I just have a feeling someone needs to hear that. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, in other words, if we own up to it, if we don't try to hide it, if we just want to come clean and say, God, would you deal with this in my life? If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from some unrighteousness. Oh, I love saying this. You might be 10,000 steps away from God, but it's only one step back. Only one step back. And I don't even know if it's even one step back. I think if you're really down and out and you're on your knees and you can't even get up and your heart is open and you say, God, help. He's there. So there's forgiveness, there's healing, there's grace. No telling what God wants to do at this table. We're going to sing our closing song right now. We're not going to have a closing song. We're going to sing at the table, so I'm going to invite the musicians to come up. It talks about how there's healing at the table of the Lord. Okay? All the verses are great. We're going to sing through this. I'm going to invite you to stand and examine your heart. And please, 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 if you're not ready to take this, don't come up and take it. Don't drink judgment to yourself. Don't treat this as casual. And forgot your name. Craig, I'm getting old. We talked about this in Sunday school. You said something that really caught my attention. You said that for you, Holy Communion begins... It begins for Craig, the first person who takes communion. In other words, it doesn't... You get to participate with everyone that comes to this table. It's not you come up to this table and you have communion and you go back and you wait for it to be over. No, you get to participate with every last person that comes to. That's an awesome thought. So let's treat this reverently. And let's go ahead and stand and we'll sing at the table. Go ahead.
I will sit at the table of the Lord. I will sit at the table of the Lord. Now I wonder anymore at His table. Come all ye weary, come and find. His yoke is easy, His burden light, and He is able, He will restore at the table of the Lord. There is peace at the table of the Lord. There is
table of the Lord. And He says, come just as you are.
To His table.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to invite Chuck and Heidi to stay up here, and we're going to have communion. By the way, we have these to-go communion sets. If you know someone that would like to be served communion at home, they're not able to be here, why don't you take one for you and one for them and break bread together. We'll consecrate this as well this morning. Also, special thanks to Donna Jones. We have a unleavened bread this morning. So we're going to see how that goes with us. You know, we just read the scriptures. She's already apologizing. I did not even think in those terms. We read the scriptures. You heard what this is. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we are excited to come to your table, and yet at the same time, truth be known, we're terrified. I mean, you're a holy God, and we are sometimes anything but. And we stumble and we fall, and we just we don't presume to be able to come to this table in our own worthiness. It's only by the worthiness of Christ that we can approach. And as we come and take this sacrament, we just invite you to any agenda we might have, we lay aside. Whatever you want to pour into our lives, whatever you want to bring into remembrance, whatever you want us to do, I mean, here we are. We want to be like Isaiah. Here I am. Here I am. So, Lord, we pray for grace upon grace to be manifested at this table. Help us to come to this table knowingly and reverently. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. This is the body of Christ, and it's broken for you. And all the people said, amen. This is His blood poured out for you and for many for the remission, the forgiveness of sins. Would you receive it as such? Say amen. Amen.